The Freer Gallery of Art and the Arthur M. Sackler Gallery, those are the Smithsonian's museums that feature Asian art, they're going to ring in the new year in a really interesting way. They're going to release their entire collections online to the public starting January 1st. Now, the majority of 40,000 pieces have never been seen before by the public. They're in vaults. Most will be available in high resolution. Courtney O'Callaghan is the gallery's chief digital officer. I spoke with her about this digital transition and the collection itself.
It is a varied collection, as you can imagine. We have two museums, the Freer and the Sackler, and in our collection it ranges in time from Neolithic to present day, featuring especially fine groupings from Chinese jades and bronzes, Islamic art, Chinese paintings, masterworks from ancient Persia. It is very impressive, and we are so excited to allow visitors to see it in its entirety. Right now, and I don't know if you know this, 78% of our collection has never been displayed publicly.
Wow, so you are really opening the closet up for the world digitally.
We really are, and we're so excited to really democratize the art that we have in our museum. It's no longer about whether or not you can get to Washington, D.C., or whether or not you have the appropriate credentials to get into our collections that have not been publicly displayed. It's really about being able to get to a computer and see whatever it is that interests you.
And are they mostly flat art, or are there also sculptures?
There are many sculptures. So unlike a lot of the museums, we have a large quantity of three-dimensional art, which really formed a huge challenge for us. But we were able to work through it, and now we can offer everybody an image of each of our objects.
Tell me the process by which you digitize these. I mean, because looking at some of the pictures of the project, not the images themselves, it looks like some of these were fairly large.
So the way that we actually digitize our collections is that we photograph each object with a high-resolution 80-megapixel camera, and we don't scan anything. It used to be that people used scanners, but scanning involves something touching the surface of the art, and our most important goal out of all of this is to maintain the integrity of the piece and not damage it or even possibly damage it in any way.
So this is more than just snapping it with the iPhone.
This is far more. These are Phase 1 cameras using Capture One software. It is the best in the industry.
And how about lighting? How do you make sure that if there's, for example, texture in the piece of art, that shows up in the picture?
That is a mixture of very good lights and very good photographers. We have photographers who work with 2 to 4 lights and make sure that they are highlighting both the very bright golds that are in some of our Islamic pieces and the very tiny details that are in some of our bronzes, and make sure that when they shoot that object, you are really seeing all the details, sometimes more than you could even see with the naked eye.
So when someone is viewing this on a monitor somewhere, say, just someone who can't make it to the gallery, that means it sounds like they can zoom in pretty close. Are there tools available with the display that you have online such that people can zoom in on that kind of detail?
Yes, we have a zooming feature that will be available on January 1st to look at pieces of each object that you really can't see with the naked eye. And because we are releasing these without copyright for non-commercial use, you can download it and use those details on your screen, as art, whatever really motivates and inspires you.
I guess you'd have trouble getting that kind of resolution out of the most printers if you wanted to try to hang it on the wall, though.
If you wanted to use it for a printer, you could print something that would cover your entire wall.
Yeah, 80 megapixels, I guess, is pretty big. And let's talk about the sculpture for a minute.
Yeah.
Because it is 3D. What is the nature of the image that is there? Do you show the front and the back and the sides and so on?
Some we do, some we don't. It depends on the sculpture. There were some sculptures that were thousands of pounds and could not be moved. They were shot in situ with high-resolution cameras, and then the background was dropped out to a neutral white or gray. Some of the smaller sculptures, we were able to do multiple shots. So though we are releasing a little over 40,000 objects, We are also releasing over 70,000 images, meaning many of our objects have two or more views available.
And is it possible to do these kind of rotational views that you see in graphics demonstrations where a 3D object can be rendered in 3D and you could spin it, so to speak?
There are some objects which we have been able to do that with, and three objects of our collection which we have shot in full 3D where you could actually print out a model.
So if you had a 3D printer, you could get some Asian art right for your own coffee table.
Absolutely, and we would love it if you did that.
We're speaking with Courtney O'Callaghan. She's the Chief Digital Officer of the Sackler and Freer Galleries at the Smithsonian. One other question about the art. Are there textiles as part of this also?
There are many textiles, and in fact, some of the textiles were the hardest pieces to shoot. We had carpets that required our photographers to climb up onto ladders to set the their cameras so that they could shoot the entire piece. That required multiple people.
And so how is all this indexed? In other words, if someone from the public logs on, how do you know where to look and find what you want to find or know what you're looking at?
When you come to our site, you will be able to break down the objects by their location, their year, their type, like bronzes, jades, etc., and go through them that way.
Now, 80 megapixels is pretty big to display. If someone wants to download it, does it come compressed, or how do you handle the size of all of these pieces of art digitally?
It does not come compressed, so I hope you have some time when you're downloading, but there will be a download button to make it easy. And if you're using it for non-commercial uses, you can do whatever you please with them.
And the hosting that you are doing to hold these images, is that something that the gallery has in-house, or did you outsource all of that part of it?
That is all entirely in-house. We have over 10 terabytes of data.
So you didn't put that in a cloud computing provider?
The Smithsonian Institution handles organizing all of that in a system called DAMS, which is our Digital Assets Management System. And in that way, it is in the cloud, but it's the Smithsonian's cloud.
All right, so what are you going to do next?
We are going to deep dive into each of the objects. You mentioned earlier the idea of being able to move objects around in a 360 or having 3D imaging of them. We hope to move through all of our objects and do one or both of those for each object to really allow people to see and enjoy every item we have.
And I would think for the textiles, it might be useful to be able to see the back of them.
Absolutely. Some of those, though, are problem children, and it's going to take quite a few people to be able to do that. And as long as we do it safely, we are willing to make sure that people really get to see all parts of each object.
Yeah, these things are pretty old, and so you don't want to handle them too much, I imagine.
No, and that is our number one priority, is to make sure that we keep these for future generations.
And so once they're photographed, some of these things go back into the collection and not to be seen in person, actually.
Yes, some of them will not be seen in person ever because it is just too dangerous. And that was one of the great things about digitizing them with such high resolution. Now we can have scholars and scientists come in and look at these without actually having to take the object out and subjecting the object to damage.